I wanted to talk a little bit about steps 6 and 7, which, besides being, I think, really the kind of heart of the program in terms of the letting go process, and actually being sort of mathematically in the center of the 12 steps, they're also the ones that I think have the most biblical tone to them. Particularly, we humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Getting pretty far away from breathing in, breathing out, letting go. You know, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. But it turned out that Ajahn Buddhadasa, decades ago, answered this question for me. When I stumbled upon this quote to him, I just was like, thank you so much. So he was reflecting on the biblical passage, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, which sounds a lot like step 7 to me. And I really think that when they wrote that step, they kind of had this passage in the back of their minds. Ask and it will be given to you. Humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. And this is what Ajahn Buddhadasa says. He says, from the Buddhist point of view, this too is a matter of karma. We must act. That is, we must ask, seek, and knock for God to be moved. Mere faith is not enough. Even if one sits down to pray, it still will not be enough. In this context, the word ask implies an earnest effort to bring about a desired result. That is to say, we beseech the law of karma through our action and not merely with words. We beseech the law of karma through our action and not merely with words. So when we humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings, if we say that him is the law of karma and that asking is an action, not just a verbal action, then this starts to make some sense, at least from a Buddhist viewpoint. Actions bring results. The way that my defects of character, which is another problematic phrase, but the way that these issues are resolved, the way that I change, the way that I let go, is through taking actions. And those actions do include thoughts, words, and deeds. When I watch my mind and notice the thoughts I have and let go of the negative and try to cultivate the positive, just in the way that we're talking about. Oh, I'm looking at my positive actions. So this is replacing our negative thought patterns. This is taking action mentally. We don't have to be passive recipients of our thoughts. We can engage them and question them, as I talked about with cognitive therapy. With our words, how we speak, we learn to speak skillfully. We learn to speak the truth in a timely manner, say things that are useful. We practice this. We get better at it. Things change. We change. We start to live in a moral way with integrity, with kindness, with compassion. We make those choices. Things change. I don't really accept the concept of character defects, because that sounds like character is something that sounds very solid to me. And it's sort of, you know, it's like I've got a tumor that's being removed, and it just sort of doesn't really work for me. I was talking to Teresa during the break about how we view, when we're talking about my positive qualities or my negative qualities, that there can be this way of kind of making that into a solid thing. And what I was saying to her was that it's not that these are positive or negative. It's that they are these qualities which can be expressed in positive or negative ways. For instance, as you know, we talk about codependence as someone who usually it's taking care of other people, but not taking care of themselves. And when a codependent recovers, they start to take care of themselves. But it doesn't mean that they stop taking care of others. They, in other words, they have an inclination towards service and caring, but that's out of balance. And when it gets into balance, it's still it becomes a positive quality. It's expressing something very positive. I was talking about myself, not about codependence, because I couldn't care less about other people, but except as what they think about me. But other than that, one of the things that I noticed when I started to practice was how much I go off into fantasies. And that's kind of been the story of my life. I was going to be a rock and roll star, you know. And when I started to really see this and confront it as a practitioner and was told, oh, you're supposed to stay in the present moment and, you know, be here now, I thought, well, that's a bad thing. That's a bad quality. That's a weakness. And so I could have, if I'd have had this language, I might have called it a character defect. But eventually, and it took me a long time, I started to see that although I had this quality of fantasizing that could get me into trouble or could sort of get me off track from what I needed to be doing, it was also the same mental quality that was creative, that made songs and wrote books, and you know, because that the creative type is someone with a lot of the fantasy lost, you know, in their own mind, the imagination. So again, it's just a matter of it's how these qualities manifest. And if you'll forgive me referring to astrology, which has been pretty, you know, was very popular at one time, is not so much now. When a good astrologer does an astrological chart, what they do is they say there are these potentials. They don't predict your life. They say there are these potentials. You know, that this alignment of the stars and these planets and this position set up potentials. And it's they can manifest in positive and negative ways. It's the same concept. And there are other traditions and other versions of this in different approaches. So I guess what I'm getting at is that when we talk about this process of that I kind of throw out a lot of the language of these steps, these two steps that, you know, we're entirely ready, I like, to have God remove these defects of character, don't like so much. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Humility is nice. Shortcomings maybe a little closer. But it's not so much for me removing something. It's much more transforming. Because as much as I'll say there isn't a fixed solid self, there is nonetheless this set of qualities that each of us seems to have, a sort of constellation of qualities that we're kind of working with, you know. And we all have our limitations, you know, physical, mental, emotional, you know, and we're working with this material and we're trying to make the best of it rather than remove things and insert new things. Just doesn't quite work for me that way. You know, it's like that thing of doing, what are they called? Affirmations. I remember trying to do that for like 5 minutes, you know. You know, sitting around, I'm really good, I'm this, I'm that, you know, and just trying to make stuff up that you want to be and thinking that if you just repeat it over and over, you'll become that. Just, maybe, not for me, it's not quite, you know. I'm 6'4", and you know. So this is a really tricky part of the process. But again, I think just coming back to this idea that it's about the law of karma, it's about the actions that we take that's going to bring about the change. And that puts the responsibility squarely on us, clearly. It's not, again, that some magical external power is going to fix us.